Of course the kids see that you don't want to do it. You're dull, you're bored, you're not excited about this. You're going through the motions. You roll something new out you're proud about, that energy, you've got the kids because they feed off you. They're like sponges. You know, you start with that energy, then you get it back off them. It just flows around the room.
Listening to the NZPE Teacher Cast, a podcast sharing some of the inspirational stories from amazing teachers and educators within New Zealand and around the world. Today's episode is sponsored by My Study Series, an online learning platform supporting Kiwi teachers and students through NCEA. With online achievements and badges for completing key tasks, My Study Series ensures students are highly engaged and motivated to learn. Check it out now at mystudyseries.co.nz.
Kia ora everyone and welcome to episode 22 of the NZPE Teacher Cast. Today's guest is an educator by the name of Dale Sidebottom. He is an Australian, but we'll try not to hold that against him. I think you're going to get a lot of motivation out of this interview. Dale is a special character whose enthusiasm is really infectious, and I guarantee you're going to get this vibe throughout the entire episode. So, Dale, welcome to the podcast.
Carl, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, buddy.
Before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about your teaching background and experience and a few tidbits about your current role in education? Because you're actually not in front of the classroom at this point in time, are you?
No, I'm not, mate. I'm not. And I suppose my education, grew up in a small town in country Victoria in Australia. And from there, I went to university. I've taught primary school and secondary school PE. I've taught in the classroom in both as well, in Australia, and I spent 2.5 years teaching in the UK. And then for the past 4.5 years, besides this year, I taught for a company called CEDA and Cricket Australia in Melbourne, where I taught young elite cricketers, which was a really good job. I'm pretty passionate about cricket. So for me, I sort of had the dream job, but I sort of had this other passion and interest, and that was sort of getting out there and going around and sharing sort of my passion to get kids moving and engaged through games. And so this year I resigned from my job and started a company called Energetic Education, and I've been traveling around Australia, New Zealand, and soon to be Asia, running workshops for teachers, which has been amazing, mate.
Are you primary trained or are you secondary trained?
I'm both. So with my degree as a PE teacher, I did prep to year 12. So I taught year 11, year 12, and then I remember when I got back from London, I didn't have a job, and I was a grade one classroom teacher for a term, and wow, that was that's the hardest teaching I've ever done in my life, mate.
I bet it was. Considering your primary experience, what do you think are the biggest challenges that primary teachers face in being able to bring high quality physical education to their students?
Just not enough time, mate. They, from all the primary school teachers that I've spoken to this year and my previous experiences, that most primary school teachers get an hour to 45 minutes a week with each student. So think about that, what you can actually deliver. You can't deliver enough, and hence why we're having so many issues with students that are overweight, obese, not playing sport. It's simply because they're not getting enough PE. And particularly in most primary schools, there's only one PE teacher. There's not much support. So that's where I've tried to give them ideas and ways to get the kids moving in the classroom as well. Because I don't think PE is just for out in the gym or out in the oval. We can always be moving in the classroom as well. So I think that's a really big barrier. It's slowly changing, but until there's more PE teachers or there's more time allowed for physical activity, I don't think it's going to really change.
So why are there not more PE teachers in primary?
Oh, it's all to do with funding, you know. At the end of the day, it's more important at the moment to do an hour of literacy, hour of numeracy, an hour of reading a day. And that's sort of the core focus, where I think if they realise that you can actually do those while moving, while being engaged, you can get the crossover. And I know we're working on a project together at the moment to really promote that. But it just needs more people sort of talking about this and getting it out there, because the research and benefits are out there. But Too many people are going down this traditional path that learning's done sitting down in a classroom. So hopefully we can spread the word, mate, and change a few outlooks.
I think you're onto it, and I think you're this focus on active education and being able to move freely, this regardless of the learning area, is something that we really should consider, but both primary and secondary. I'm really interested in your experience in the Cricket Australia Sports Development Program. What was all that about, and how did you find working in elite sport?
Yeah, so I suppose growing up, I've always played a lot of cricket. I've coached at a high level, and I've also played quite high representative cricket. So I've capped them like my state and things like that in Australia. So I've always had a bit of a passion for it. But I suppose going into this program, I started at just one of the basic classes. So I was just teaching general students, and then the opportunity arose for me to take over the talented players program. And so I went from not doing a great deal of training to every Wednesday we'd go to the MCG, the Melbourne Cricket Ground, training the underground nets. We'd have allocated time for three training sessions a week. That was fitness, gym, in the nets, exposure to state and elite coaches, as well as players. So for me, it was like a dream come true. So the MCG is like the holy grail for me. It's the home of cricket, home of AFL football, and I was able to go there and train in the high performance gym and in the nets every Wednesday. So for me, I just sort of pinched myself at the start, and then I sort of fell in the role and really enjoyed it. But working with young up and coming cricketers, it was really rewarding because they were so focused and they would really want to improve. So everything you gave them, you could see a lot of results. So for me as a cricketer, I love the job, and it was a really hard decision to leave, but it's been the best thing I've done, I think, and allowed me to do what I'm doing now. But to answer your question, great opportunity, great role, and I loved working with up and coming elite cricketers.
I don't think in general society just realise the amount of hard work that goes into building a high level or an elite athlete, and until you get some sort of insight into that process and how it all works, you're kind of oblivious to it. And a story I'm going to share, I'm not sure if I've told you this one, mate, but at probably about 7 years ago, I was a carded athlete in New Zealand. So that means you get access to a whole lot of funding and resources depending on your level of carding. And this was as part of a talent ID program that I was in for the New Zealand bobsleigh team. And so we got this funding and we could access physios and massage and stuff like that. But at some point during this program, I had fractured my foot. Well, I'd injured my foot and nobody knew what it was. So being a carded athlete, I kind of got fast-tracked. And I remember it because I was just blown away by it. But I got called up and they said, look, you've got this. You need to go into hospital, have the scans. And in a day, I had a bone scan, I had an X-ray, I had an ultrasound, and I had an MRI. And I was in the hospital for about 5 hours. I had all these tests, and the nurses were saying, oh, you know, this is really weird that you've having all these tests done. And I didn't think too much of it, but I got home that afternoon and I got a text from this random number, and it was a guy, and he said, hey, I'm your surgeon, you need to stop eating, you're going into the operating room tomorrow to have your broken foot fixed. And crazy. That was going from just being not knowing what that system is like, just being just a pleb athlete to somebody who had this whole world open up to them and seen firsthand. You know, we're really quick to critique professional athletes, but until you see what they go through, you kind of get an understanding of why they need the support and why these resources are made available to them. But it was just kind of really eye-opening for me to see that experience firsthand. But I think you would have seen a lot of that being involved with Cricket Australia too, so that's really cool that you can have experiences like that.
Yeah, it was, mate. And I suppose you see these players out on the field and things like that, and you think, wow, how lucky are they? But the sacrifices they make, and I have actually heard that you were in the bobsled team, mate, and I hadn't brought that up with you, but that's pretty cool. I might start calling you Sunker. Hey, Sunker, man.
So you're also a personal trainer. So within that role, what similarities do you see between that, so your personal training role, and teaching physical education?
Yeah, so I suppose it's I started running boot camps just as a side thing. I've always been interested in it, and I've had my personal training certificate. I started this about 4 years ago, and I was doing 3 mornings a week for friends, and I just really enjoyed it. And I liked obviously working with adults as well as my teaching role, working with students. And what I found is that it doesn't matter what age you are, if you can make fitness fun or you can make it into a game where people actually forget what they're doing, you're going to have really good results. And I started using a lot of the games that I'd been using with my students, with adults. And I saw just how crazy it was, because how I see it is people as kids, you know, you play a lot, you have fun, you don't have a worry in the world. Whereas when you grow up as an adult, you've got a mortgage, you've got kids, you've got work, you know, life becomes pretty boring, pretty dull. So if you can add a little bit of fun, a little bit of joy into that day, particularly getting them to play again and remember their childhood, you're going to really tap into a huge market. And what I've done is now I run a pretty successful fitness company in Melbourne, and through that I've found crossovers for fitness that apply for both really young students right through to adults. And that's sort of where I'm really passionate about now is, and I call it sneaky fitness because I make it sneaky and people actually forget what they're doing because they're having so much fun. So if you're a student, I'll do that in the classroom. Or if you're an adult, I'll do it in a boot camp. So I think there's a big crossover between both. And I've been really fortunate that I can use both my passions now for adults and for students and to help teachers around the world.
Isn't it funny that you kind of just that switch gets flicked and all of a sudden you're an adult and you have adult problems and all that that exploration and that fun and that discovery as a kid, it just almost ceases to exist. I think that's why we're seeing this proliferation of gamification in business and how it's our clients or our end users, we're seeing greater user engagement through this concept called gamification, and we're starting to see it in education more and more. So you're obviously doing it really well, and it's cool to hear how it's been successful for you and that personal training business. But it's also, I think, really important to consider how we can push it more in education, because you and I both know that there's those aspects of gamification and gaming, which we're going to talk about soon. They're so important to consider and install in our classroom if we want to see, I guess we want to be relevant too with our students, because gaming is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's becoming more of an everyday thing for our students. So I like that, those similarities that you've linked in that relationship you see there between your role as a personal trainer and physical education.
Well, I think life is just one big game, and it's how you go about putting the bricks or the sticks in place to sort of set that boundaries and get people going. So, like, I know you talk about a lot, and particularly with your gaming experience, but school, I think I've heard this from you, but school's like one big game. It's just not very good. Yeah. You know, and I think...
You listen to my stuff, mate.
I do, mate. I do listen to you, mate. I've got a fond little bond with you here, mate. I'm going to admit it online. But, like, I've listened to a couple of books, Gamification Toolkit and also Gamify by Brian Burke. And when I started reading those, because I heard a lot of this buzzword, what is gamification? And really, yeah, I totally agree with what you say, that schooling is a bad game. You know, you level up each year and... you know, just it just doesn't engage people. So I couldn't agree more. I've found a way to do that in fitness, but now my big passion is trying to bring that across into school. And I know we're working on something together, mate, and it's really exciting. And I think the more people we can share, I don't know, our ideas and sort of knowledge with, I think it's really helpful. And I can see that this year from all the teachers I've sort of had in my workshops and things like that.
Yeah, Jesse Schell, I think, is the guy who quoted that education is just is a game. It's just a very poorly designed one, and we have all these aspects of education and schooling that are no different to what you see in a game. They're just really bad, and we've got the power to take these aspects or these areas of education and make them fun and exciting, which is, I think, what we're trying to do. You've just come off a bit of a tour around New Zealand. What sort of workshops have you been running, and how well received have they been by New Zealand educators?
Yeah, really well. Even though I bring up at the start of most of my workshops about the one-day cricket World Cup final last year, but I've realised that I'm the only Aussie in the whole room, and there's a lot of Kiwis. But no, I've just come back from my second full week in New Zealand this year, and absolutely loving it. I think obviously New Zealanders and Australians are very similar, and we've got a huge passion for what we're doing, and that's been really, I just love it. I love coming over. I love seeing your beautiful country. First time I was over, I was in Auckland, had a couple of workshops, and then I was lucky enough to come to your school, Carl, and meet you in Wellington, mate, and nearly got blown away. I didn't have a kite, very windy place, but no, it was lovely. And my recent trip was to Tauranga and Dunedin, and as I said, it's been fantastic. I really love coming over, and I think both our countries are very similar with what we're trying to do and trying to build up physical education and get more of it and sort of advocate for it. And I think that's why, yeah, the workshops I've been running have sort of been well received. And yeah, I think there's more scope for me to come back, hopefully in the near future.
What was the focus of the recent ones you did?
Yeah, so a lot of the one-day workshops I've been doing are basically just giving teachers different ways to turn things into a game and motivate students. So in the morning, I like using like stories, dice and cards and music to get students moving. And if you want a little bit of an idea of what I mean, I've just released a three-part podcast series on using dice cards and Uno cards. And I mentioned my top three games in those. So they're basically ways I just use those cards to mix up basically warm-ups, different ways of teaching and things like that. And why they work so well is because every school's already got dice cards, Uno cards. You don't need to go out and buy them. As well as using music. I love using music as a warm-up and a workout. And it's basically a song where it's got a lot of repeated words and so on. And what I've found is, even if teachers, I suppose, don't really learn anything from my workshops, which I'm sure they do, at least they can have a fun day. So I go with the model that if you're learning, if you're having fun, then it's going to be beneficial. And I think that's the way all teachers, particularly PE teachers, run our lessons anyway. So I just remember as a teacher sitting through a lot of PDs where I was just sitting all day, and I don't really have a big attention span, Carl. I can't really sit still. So if you make me sit there and read slides all day, I'm going to be staring out the window. So I've gone with the model, sit down for 5-10 minutes max, and then we're up and about. So I've really enjoyed it. I like having a lot of energy up and about, and I think New Zealand teachers have embraced it so far, which has been great.
Nice. I haven't sat in a whole workshop of yours, but I've observed the one that you that you ran at our school, and definitely the feedback from the teachers that attended has been really positive. And you've got a pretty unique presenting style, and I think maybe that's just your enthusiasm and your enthusiasm for this approach to learning and teaching. So I'll make sure I share that podcast episode in the show notes. But yeah, if you get the opportunity to listeners, if you get the opportunity to attend one of Dale's workshops, jump at it because they're pretty cool. We're off to Dubai in a couple of weeks, only three weeks away. Are you pumped about it?
I am, mate. I was very nervous this time last year because I didn't actually know what to expect. I'd never really been to a big conference, let alone presented at one. So I didn't let on that I was nervous, but I was actually packing myself, mate. And then to make the big journey over by myself, particularly with the stopover that we're going to experience. But now it's going to be great, mate, going over with yourself and your lovely wife. And yeah, I'll be able to show you the ropes, mate. It's my second time.
Looking forward to it, mate. what are you presenting on there?
Yeah, so again, last year I basically presented on an hour and a half masterclass, Making Fitness Fun. So exactly what I just mentioned there, using dice, cards, yep, music, and stories. And this year I'm going to do like a part two of that. So it's going to be all new activities that I haven't released before. They're all brand new. And yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I think we had about 40 in each masterclass last year in a little room, and it just went off. Like the energy was through the roof and it was amazing. So I'm pumped for that again. And not only that, I get to see amazing other presenters such as yourself and everybody going. So it's a really cool experience having, I think there was 160 PE staff there last year from 30 different countries. So just even networking and talking to them, I know I spoke to a lot of them on Twitter for a long time, and you're the same, and then you finally meet in person, it's pretty cool. So I think that in itself, the Twitter community is amazing, and then when you get the chance to actually meet these people, it's, yeah, I recommend people going, if you're lucky enough to get the time off of school or your school take you, then yeah, it's definitely worthwhile. Jared runs a very good presentation and everything that he does through Connected PE.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. Like yourself, though, a little bit nervous. I've done a couple of international conferences and presented at one of them, did a keynote, but still, it's you're not quite sure how it's all going to pan out, and especially somewhere like Dubai, where you're going to get where it's this hub that draws from a whole lot of different areas. You're going to get a lot of different teachers who have come from different curriculums and different approaches and teaching styles, so you're always kind of in the back of your head are wondering how applicable your stuff is going to be. But I think just being confident in what we do and be prepared to learn from others too, which is what networking is all about, and being able to do that. And I always harp on about that we don't do this enough. So it's going to be a pretty choice experience, I think. And I'm actually going to do a I'm going to try and do a bit of a podcast using some of the presenters and some of the delegates, and I put together like 20 questions, and you know, a delegate or a presenter can pick one of those questions and have a bit of a 2 or 3 minute spiel on that question, and I'll collate all of that, and hopefully there'll be some good content.
I reckon it will be, mate. And as you mentioned, I went over last year as well thinking, am I good enough to even be going to this workshop, you know, let alone actually at conference, let alone presenting? And because a lot of teachers, they're amazing. They come from all over the world. But you are, mate. I'll back you in, buddy. I reckon you're going to dominate. Can't wait to be over there with you, Ledge.
Cheers, mate. So listening to you speak and the things that you said, it's pretty obvious that active learning and active education is something that you're quite passionate about. So why do you feel that these two approaches are important across all learning areas, not just physical education?
Because I don't think learning just takes place sitting at a desk. So I think if you can be learning and active, because if your brain's moving around, your body's moving, you're learning more, you're taking more in. Where if you're sitting down, I just don't think that's the way to learn. You know, you don't sit down all day and learn. You walk around, you see things, you do things. So I think moving around, interacting, and I think through games a lot, the more social interaction and teamwork you get, that's not learning you see about your times tables or your writing words. That is actual real life learning that's going to set our students up for future success. So if you can make games that get the curriculum benefits and the educational benefits, but they're also working as a team, they're moving, they're active, and they're ticking all these boxes, then the results are epic. And for me, being able to create those and give those to teachers and show them how cool they are, it's such a rewarding process. And I think that's why I'm so passionate about it, mate, because I generally believe that by teaching this way, the way that I know you believe in as well, that like the students are just going to enjoy school so much more, and the results are going to be epic.
You've mentioned this a few times already, but you and I have formed a bit of a partnership recently, and we're working on an educational resource. Do you want to tell us a bit about that, seeing so you're kind of the brains behind it all?
I'm definitely not the brains, mate. We're working quite well as a team, but it was just an idea. I remember catching up with you when you drove me to the airport after your workshop. We're actually having a beer, and mentioned that if we ever wanted to do a project here, any ideas? And it really got me thinking, because you know, I've followed you for a while and I really like your stuff, and I've listened to your stuff on gamification, and I thought there's something here that nobody else is delivering. And I've witnessed some of the activities I roll out with not only PE teachers, but mainly the sessions I run for classroom teachers, and how well received these games have been. And so what we've tried to do is we've come up with 10 core games. So well, really well-known games where there's like Prison Break, Game of Life, Monopoly, there's a Passport Explorer where you go around the world, there's a Paper Plane Challenge, there's a Super Coach game, there's an indoor tennis ball game. Anyway, what these games are, they're games where you get moving a little bit, but then also they're really based around education. So like I just mentioned, you're not sitting down, but you're working as a team, and the aim is, it's a game. So I know gamification buzzword, but these are games where you want to work harder, you want to get further, because there's opportunities and rewards for you. So as a team, you have to work together to get the best possible result. And I'm really excited for the release. It's going to be in a couple of weeks, if I can finish the videos off. I know I've never done so many videos before, but I know you're an expert on the videos, mate. And yeah, keep an eye out for it, guys. Learning with games, and it's, yeah, pretty exciting. I can't wait for the release, to be honest, mate.
I think it's going to be good. And what I like about it is it does have, the games have the printable or downloadable resources, but then they have the supporting video to guide the teachers through the game. And I think what technology allows us to do these days is, with shifting away from physical resources to something that's online, it just allows us to, it makes it more organic, and we can keep adding to it. And, the plan is that we're going to be adding new resources weekly or fortnightly. Yep. And I think it's going to have some real benefit for teachers across all learning areas. Primary, there'll be some crossover into secondary. Yep. So I think it's exciting, and I've seen the stuff that you're putting together, and I think it's awesome, and I'm looking forward to being able to contribute some of my ideas and some of my takes on game mechanics within the learning platform or the resource. So that's going to be I'm pretty excited about it, and I hope
I think what you mentioned, that not only the resources are great, but the videos as well, explaining it. And what I've found from delivering my workshops this year is that I've had ebooks and resources. I've got a member zone where people can go and get these resources, but you can't actually see what it's like to be delivered by reading. You don't actually see how cool something is. So the resources I deliver in my workshops, people love, because they can see how cool they are. Whereas if you read that on a bit of paper, you wouldn't notice. So yeah, that's why this site's going to be so easy and good for teachers to use, because all the resources are there, but then in the videos as well. So, and we've left a lot of it open too, because teachers are amazing. They've got so creative minds, and they're really creative too. So not only are we giving, but we're also leaving the door open a bit for teachers to have their little bit of flair and spin on it. So, yeah, stay tuned. It's going to be really cool, mate.
So you've mentioned a couple of times about these buzzwords, and we have gamification. I've said it a few times, and game-based learning and gamified learning. So they're kind of the in words at the moment. Why should teachers really be paying attention to them?
I think it's pretty plain and simple. Why do students have such low fitness levels and things at the moment? Why level is participation in sport low? Because students these days want to play games. They want to play Xbox. They want to play PlayStation. They want to play their iPads. You know, they're more engaged with how those games are designed. So whatever the game developers are doing that are making those games, we need to use those and transform that into what we're actually doing, because it works. Kids don't want to stop playing PlayStation. They don't want to stop playing on their iPad. Now, it doesn't matter if it's an educational game or not. They're wanting to keep going. So it's plain and simple. We've got to change the way we teach. I think it's worked well, but everything needs a little jig up and a little bit of a re-sort of do. So for me, games are designed so well. They get buy-in from everybody, adults, children, everything. So if we can change that for our teaching, then who knows what will happen in the future.
Yeah, I agree. But don't you think, and I've seen this firsthand, as soon as you start talking games or gamification or game-based learning, it implies, well, it kind of, teachers who aren't up with those buzzwords, yeah, or have an experience with games, or kind of understand just how far-reaching video games are, they kind of get the impression that it's taking away from the educational value because it's just games.
Yeah, and this is, you're always going to get this. No matter what, anything you roll out new, you're going to get skeptics. And I think teachers are nearly the worst at it most time, are worried about change. And that's why I think if people like yourself, myself, can start advocating this and showing the results that we get by teaching like this, that's the only way it's going to change. And the more people we get on board, if it's like a train, get people into carriages and the train gets bigger and bigger, we make noise, we see results, it's the only way it's going to change. I'm a big believer in that. And I'm skeptic when there's new things. And if I didn't know much about gamification, but I read into it, I read this word and I'm like, I don't understand it. So I wanted to know more. So that's what I want other teachers to sort of read into, and parents as well, because we want them on board too, because a lot of time they don't want to see change. They want to see lessons run for an hour, literacy, numeracy, like I've mentioned before. Whereas let's mix it all up. Let's do it all together in a game. You know, it's the way of the future. And I think teachers, we're pretty lucky where we've got a chance to change everything.
Yeah, we do. And there's nothing more exciting than seeing change in action. And I look at some of the cool things that a few schools in New Zealand are doing around the way they're challenging the status quo and how they deliver their lessons or how they deliver their curriculum, and it's just I don't understand how people don't get excited about that and want to change what they're doing, but there's just so many people who just want to stay as is, chalk and talk, and all of this this traditional form of teaching. But yeah, we do need to be prepared to embrace the future and change the way we do things for the benefit of our students, because the students that we have in front of us now are not the same students that even when you and I are at school, and even more so than when our parents were at school. You know, the change is, it's so far reaching, and we've got to really consider that in how we approach our students.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree, mate. And I think that's the thing, that everything changes. Your cars, they change. iPhones change. You know, why does that mean our teaching stays the same? And as a teacher, if you keep doing the same thing, you're going to get stale, you're going to get stagnant. So by introducing these new things, it's not only for the students' benefit, it's for the teachers. Yeah. If you're rolling something out new, it's so much more engaging. And I think that's why we've just got to keep going and going, and one thing will click, and, you know, then it'll change the way people see things.
And I think, like, just thinking about rolling out the same stuff there and getting stale and things like that, and I see it in my own teaching. I find that if I'm doing something that it's kind of rinse and repeat from the year before or the year before, it is kind of boring for the kids. And I just see in the kids' responses and their reactions to when I plan a completely new topic or unit that is relevant to them, it has more value to them, and you just see it in their eyes. The more excited they can see that you've done a little bit of extra planning or research, or you've done some upskilling, and you see the benefit right there and then. And that's just one of the coolest things in education, I think, when you see that high level of engagement. And you're just not going to get that from something you roll out every single year.
No, you're not. And you mentioned a big thing there. If you're engaged, if you're excited about something, energy's infectious. The kids see that. You come in and roll the same thing out that you've been rolling out for the last 4 years, of course the kids see that you don't want to do it. You're dull, you're bored, you're not excited about this, you're going through the motions. You roll something new out you're proud about, that energy, you've got the kids, because they feed off you. They're like sponges. You know, you start with that energy, then you get it back off them, it just flows around the room.
And I guess that's one of the challenges with education these days, is as teachers, we're so time poor, and it is easy to just settle back and roll that stuff out. But and firsthand, it's something that I do, and I need to try to do it less. But it's a challenge. And the more we can start, even just starting small, just going, okay, well, this week, what's the one new thing I'm going to do with this class, and roll that out and see what happens. And if you keep doing that and build bigger and better things, then the kids are going to, you're going to see some results in the classroom, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what I say in my workshops. I say, get a dice, get a deck of cards, start each lesson with a new game, a 5-minute game, you know, use a dice. So for example, if you're using basketball, you're doing a general warm-up, dribbling, shooting, passing, running, squat, sit-ups, okay? Whatever number you roll on the dice, it allocates to one of those movements. You do 10 reps of it, make it into a challenge. Whoever gets the most at the end wins. Really simple. You can use that for any sport right? It's completely what you're doing already. It's the same warm-up, but by adding in a dice or a deck of cards, right, you'll see this different change because it's randomized. And that's a big thing I've started to see. Start small, and you're like, wow, that works well. And then you'll get excited as well. You're like, geez, this is so much better than what I've been doing.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Hey, our last question. You've worked with quite a few New Zealand educators in a number of New Zealand cities now. What has been your best highlight while on the side of the ditch?
Do you know what? I generally love coming over. I like going out for dinner. It's a bit different on workshops by yourself, but I really, I'm a big fan of craft beer, so I like testing your lovely beers. And to be honest, flying into all of your cities is nearly breathtaking. There's so much water. In Australia, to have a water property, you've nearly got to fork out $3 million, whereas there's water everywhere in your country, and it's beautiful. So I just love coming over, and it feels a little bit like home because your weather's pretty average like ours. So for me, it's like being at home with nice beer and there's water everywhere. So ticking so many boxes, and then I get to run workshops doing something I love with educators that are really passionate about what they do. So big thumbs up, and talk about rugby, not cricket, winning and losing, because the All Blacks always win. So I've found talking about that more than cricket's a really good way to start my sessions.
Hey, Dale, thanks for taking the time to have a chat. I think it's pretty obvious that you're the type of guy, you're the type of educator that is just so passionate and enthusiastic about everything that you're doing, and that's cool to see, and it's contagious. You know, I start getting excited talking to you because you're so excited, and if we could all be like that in education, then how cool would that be for our students? So I'm looking forward to catching up with you Melbourne before we board that long flight to where we're going, Brunei, and then on to Dubai. In that ready airport that Jared keeps telling me about, but it'll be a cool experience. So yeah, once again, mate, just thanks for sitting down to chat.
No worries, thanks for having me, Carl. Appreciate it, mate.
Cheers, buddy.